of you for being here today. I'm excited about sharing a message with you. God has been laying a message on my heart, and I'm excited to share it with you. Remember, God's word is life, right? Visitors, welcome. I just thank you for being here today. May God be glorified and blessed by your presence. So thank you for all of you that are here today that are usually not here to worship with us. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're thinking that I'm just never going to move out of this area of Scripture, but I am. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to begin reading. If you remember, I quit reading at verse 15 the last time. And so today I want to begin reading in verse 16. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 is where I want to read. Please follow along. I want to thank, while I think about it, Zach, Tiffany, and Holly for bringing your friends to church today. This is really neat. Your Florida friends. So these are all young folks that Scott's children have met in Florida, and they've been friends for a while. And you know, this whole thing started by Scott and Wanda being friends with their parents. So this whole thing has kind of translated over to a friendship here today. Thank you so much for being here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That's a question. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So as I read this scripture, there's a number of things that I want to clearly show you today. I want to, in a very real way, talk to you about you being the temple of God. That's just the first part of my message. I'll go on, but I want to talk to you about you being the temple of God. Now, this is not nearly the only scripture where it teaches this. It teaches us that after we, the scriptures would teach us that when we become born again, one of the things, and I've been sharing with you, there are many, many things that happen when we become born again. Many things. I mean, there are things that we don't even know are happening that are all things that God does. Take, for instance, like we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into Christ's kingdom. That has nothing to do with us. That's a work of God that when we believe, this is something that takes place. And there are many, many things like that. And one of those things is that we become God's dwelling place. We become God's dwelling place. Now, I'm going to read a few more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, this is what it says. What? Again, a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Again, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God." Now pay attention to those words. For ye are, you today. Raise your hands if you today are the temple of the living God. Amen. We are the temple of the living God. For ye, it says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What better could we have than that? What better could we have than that? Ephesians 2:21 says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I was going to ask you before I started reading these verses, what are some things that are commonalities, or what are some similar thoughts that keep coming up in these verses as I'm reading them? 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So here we are, back to our text. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and we can say living God now that we've read the scriptures. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So again, you know what? You don't have to ask for the Spirit of God. When you become born again, God's Spirit indwells you. God's Spirit indwells you. I'm not saying that. I don't want to make light of the scriptures that talk about being baptized with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being there are phrases like that. That's not my subject today. I'd be glad to talk to you about that sometime, but when you become born again, there's a measure of the Holy Spirit that is given to you. Everyone. The Holy Spirit is given to you. And I just want to... One of the things that I want us to truly think about today is the temple being the place where God dwells. Now, what I did is I brought some cutaways, and I'll come down and show these to you so you can get a real good picture of them. But this was the initial temple of God. It started out with a tabernacle. And this was the transitory dwelling place of God. In other words, this temple, this tabernacle was made, and it's very, very interesting for you to read and study this, because this temple was made that everything here could be taken apart in short order. They had ways of taking this whole thing apart. It didn't take long. Everyone had their job, and it was kind of like what Ryan was reading this morning. Everyone knew what their job was. It didn't take long to do it. And this tabernacle here became a mobile. It moved from place to place. And there were two things that was always present with the children of Israel. I'll say two things. That were always present with the children of Israel when they had the tabernacle set up like this. One of them, and I'll elaborate on this a little bit more, is this thing right here. You'll see this cloud. That was in the daytime. At nighttime, in the sky, there was a pillar of fire. And it made that Israel was not in total darkness at night. And so the rule was that when this hovered, Israel camped. And you'll see pictures here. And it's really interesting. The Bible is very clear on where the tribes should set up their tents. There were four sides to this tabernacle. It was in the center. And these tribes all had a specific place on where to set their tents. Very interesting. And as you, when this pillar of fire in the daytime, and this at nighttime, and the cloud in the daytime, when this hovered, Israel stayed camped. All of a sudden, they looked, hey, this pillar of fire is moving. Everybody grabbed their orderly ways of doing things. The tents came down, the tabernacle came down, the cattle were all rounded up, and away they went, and they started moving. This whole mass of people started moving through the desert. Can you imagine? And this mass of people started moving through the desert. Cloud would stop, pillar of fire would stop. If it was day or night, they would all set up camp again, just in the same order where they had been. You know, all the tribes had their specific spots, and every head of the tribe gave orders, setting up their tent. And away they went, and they moved all over. Can you imagine that they did this for 40 years? That's a long time. Now, what I want to help you understand, that there was great significance to this tabernacle. There was great significance to this tabernacle. This tabernacle, there's a reason that the scriptures say that we are the temple of God. The main reason for that is because God dwells. And this is where God dwelled with the children of Israel, right here. You see this cloud, this right here. And what's interesting, there are three parts to this tabernacle. There are three parts to us, right? Body, soul, and spirit. Okay? There are three parts to this tabernacle. You'll see that right here, you have this outer court. You have this outer court. That's indicative of the visible part. This part here had two parts, but it was undercover. There was a roof that was over top of this part right here. There was a roof that was over top of that. And the only way that you could know what was in there is by going inside. And it is so... I get all enthused about talking about all these different instruments here and everything. I'm not going to talk about that today. That's not my message today. I do want to talk about it sometime. But right here, was the holy place, indicative of your soul. And back here, right where this cloud came down, is the Holy of Holies. Is the Holy of Holies. And this, right in that Holy of Holies, when Aaron as high priest went into that Holy of Holies, how would you have felt going in there? And there you can actually visibly see a cloud. And this cloud is God. This cloud is God. This is where God dwelled, in this Holy of Holies. Just to show you how holy God is, I was just reading back in Exodus. And you remember that Moses went up on the mount, and Moses and God were having conversation. And they were talking like friends talk to each other. And it was like, Moses, God, I want to see you. And God says, come up here. And so Moses, he goes up there. He walks up on this rock. And here comes God. All of a sudden, God takes Moses and puts him into this big crack in the rock, a cleft, it said. Put Moses into this big crack. And as God came up to that big crack, it says that God put his hand out like this, and he walked past Moses. And after he was past, he took his hand away, and Moses looked and saw the backside of God. Because God is so holy, you can't look into his face. You know that? Do you know that in your heart? Do you know that God is so holy that you can't look God in the face, and yet God dwells in you? I want to tell you something. I want to come down here and show you this. I want you to take a close look. This is the very presence of God that is in this Holy of Holies. And I want to tell you, this very presence of God is what happened when Jesus died on the cross. And the veil in the temple, this veil right here, was 15 feet tall. And this veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and we could look right into the very presence of God. What does that mean to you today? That's my question. Do you love entering the where God is? Do you love just being there and being totally overwhelmed with God's love, with the presence of God? Do you know what that means? I'm going to tell you something. It's not about trying to live righteously and doing all these things. It's about seeing the presence of God. It's about being moved by the presence of God. It's about loving this God so much that there is nothing can entice me away from God. Have you ever thought about that? This was so awesome. This was so awesome. Did you notice this morning think Ryan read something about tremble about God. You know what? That's something that's lost today. That's something that's lost today. We have lost this whole thing about trembling before God because of who He is. We've some way said that this is what I need to do. We've some way said this is what God wants me to do, so I'll do it. We've some way said that the church demands this and this. And we read the Bible and we say, some way the Bible this and that. I want to talk to you about today, knowing what it is to be the temple of the living God, where God in His glory dwells today. You, Martha, you, Becky, you, Leonard, God dwells in us, right inside us. The Holy of Holies is indicative of our spirit, and that's where we meet God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, is what the scriptures say. I don't know if you have fear and trembling when you meet God, but we should. We should be overwhelmed. I want to encourage you men, as you're driving down the road, this is not sacrilegious. I'm saying, God, I want to feel and see and experience Your presence right here today. And guess what? You're going to break down with tears running down your face because you've seen the awesome presence of God in your own heart. Men, that's what we need. We need men today that are not concerned. I'm very concerned about doctrine. I'm very concerned about practice. But you know what? They lead us away from the presence of God. They lead us away from the presence of God. Because we say, this doctrine has to be this way. This practice has to be this way. And you know how I feel. I'm very strong about godliness must be displayed and practiced in our Christian life. I'm very strong on that. But you know what? It all stems from being in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. Brothers, that's where we must be. We must understand what it is to be. Remember, the scriptures teach us here. It says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It says, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And what's interesting about that verse is this. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. You know what? The word defile has the meaning of mixing something that's clean with something that's unclean. That's how something is defiled. Like if I would take one of Elsie's dishes that she makes, fries my eggs in, and would take and put mud into it, cow manure into it, it would be defiled. It would be defiled. We would not want to use it anymore. Brothers, I want you to think about how have we defiled the temple of God. We must look at these things. When you read these scriptures, don't just pass by them. Sit down as families and say, family, how can we keep the temple of God pure and holy within our family structure? That's where the strength of this church comes from. It's not in my teaching. I'm simply planting. It's in you as dads, understanding that my family must be kept pure, and I'm responsible for that. Because as a dad, we live a pure and a holy life because God only resides in a holy dwelling place. God only resides in a holy dwelling place. That's what this scripture is saying. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that we have many people in our churches that have defiled temples that are sometime going to be, as the verses just previous to this say, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. That's what's going to happen. He shall suffer loss. There are many people that are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you go into verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There are many people that are building on that with wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to burn up. And the scriptures come in the same context and teach us about we being the temple of God. And God dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. There are two things. There are two things. Two primary things that took place when people went to the tabernacle. Two primary things that took place when people went to the tabernacle, to the temple. One of them is to bring sacrifices. In fact, if you look right here on the outside, the first thing they did right there was an altar, brazen altar it was called, and that's where initially your sacrifice was brought. Here is the brazen laver, and that's where the priests washed their hands and their feet before they could proceed on in here. This is just in showing us how holy God is. Before the priests could enter into this holy place, they had to wash their hands and their feet, saying that God will accept no defilement in his holy place. In his holy place. God will accept no defilement in his holy place. And brothers, I want to truly encourage you today that when we come to sacrifice unto God, how do we do that today? How do we do that today? Romans 12, this is what it says. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And remember, so the reason that we now have our bodies being presented as a living sacrifice, this sacrifice can be presented over and over and over and over. Daily we can present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The sacrifice in the tabernacles. When they were offered, they were dead. They could not be used as a sacrifice again. As a living sacrifice, we can offer our bodies to God every day. Every day. Another verse that's interesting is, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his holy name. So every day, brothers and sisters, we can, because we are the temple where God dwells, we can offer up these blessings and praises and glories and honor, and just over and over and over all day long, we can just offer these sacrifices to the most holy God. It's closely related, but worship is the other part. We go into, especially Psalms, we'll see verses after verses after verses. Jesus asked the woman in Samaria, where do you go to worship? Well, they said, we go to Jerusalem. The Jews go to Jerusalem to worship. Jesus said, that's going to stop. Those who worship him are going to be able to worship him in truth wherever they are, in spirit and in truth. They're going to worship him in spirit and in truth wherever they are. That's going to change. And that's where we are today. Today, I so appreciated what Doug said. He didn't know what all he was saying about my message when he got up and said, didn't you previously worship before you came here? And if you didn't previously worship before you came here, how can you worship now? See, our life becomes a perpetual worship of God. Just one right after the other, one right after the other, one right after the other. Our life becomes full of the goodness of God, and we express that back to God. And it's just worship and worship. But see, we have things that encroach. You know what an encroachment is? An encroachment is when you have a property line. Let's say that here's the property line. This is my land, and over here is your land. When you have an encroachment, it means that I have a building on my land, but the roof of my building reaches over onto your land. That's an encroachment. That's an encroachment. So when we have things that encroach upon our Christian life, crosses the boundaries. It crosses the boundaries. And you're not allowed to have encroachments. If there are encroachments, they have to be identified. They have to be in writing, really, is the way it should be. But we have things that encroach upon our worship of God. You know, one of the things that encroaches upon our worship of God is our busy schedules. Those become more valuable in worship of God. We have such an affluent lifestyle today. We have what we want. We have what we want. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm saying many, many times these things that we have crowd out what is better, what is holy, what is righteous. And yet we try to some way squeeze in this whole thing about God and worship. In the scriptures, we are continually exhorted about idolatry. And we must not allow, if you want to understand idolatry, go back and study the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the warning came from God over and over and over. So when you look out there and you see your neighbors, you see their wives, you see their husbands, you see their idols, do not long for those things out there. Because if you long for those things out there, you're going to move toward them and you're going to be overtaken. And God's wrath is going to come down upon you. And then the Bible says that's what happened. Then God took a nation that was more evil than Israel and came in and punished Israel for their idolatry. Isn't that interesting? A nation more evil than Israel. God brought that nation in and punished Israel for their idolatry and for their moral failures. Brothers, I want to just encourage you today. We must understand what it is to live in the presence of God and how that changes us. We must understand that. We must understand that. You know, when you think about the veil being rent, I don't know what that does to you. But I want to tell you, I see something bright. I see glory and majesty that is so bright that I can't even look at it. The veil in the temple was rent from heaven to earth, from the top to the bottom. The veil in the temple was rent, meaning that now anyone, not just Aaron and the high priest, today, through Christ, all of us can come into the very presence of God. And that's what causes fear and trembling. That's what causes a holy lifestyle. That's what causes us to have an abhorrence for sin. That's what causes us to have a love for righteousness. It's not me telling you what you can and can't do. It's you experiencing the presence of a holy God. And that changes your life. That changes your life. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Just quickly, a few verses. I just want to again remind you, and I've been teaching this to you, there are three things that the Holy Spirit does in regard to Christ. The scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus do not act independently of the Father. That's very clear in the scriptures. Jesus and the Holy Spirit do not act independently of the Father. This is what the scripture says, that the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. In other words, when God's Spirit that has taken residence within us, it is His work, this Jesus that is on the right hand of the Father, this Jesus that died for our sins, this Jesus that when He died, this veil was rent and we can come right into that presence. This Jesus is who the Holy Spirit glorifies. In other words, He makes Jesus very, very high, very lifted up. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit also beareth witness. In other words, everything that Christ said that we have record of in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit takes what Christ said and bears witness with that. In other words, he says the same thing. That's what bearing witness means. Is that bearing witness means that I was there, I observed what happened, I can testify to what happened. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit testifies and bears witness with us. And the third thing is, I already mentioned that, is testifies. He glorifies Christ, he bears witness of Christ, and he testifies of Christ, and we have scriptures for all of that. In Romans chapter 8, we're going to get to that in our Sunday school lesson, it talks about Christ and the Holy Spirit are both presently intercessors for believers. Verse 24 and verse 34 in Romans chapter 8, you'll see that Christ intercedes and the Holy Spirit intercedes. That means that right now, as believers, the Holy Spirit is taking everything from God and making that applicable, making that a reality, bringing you interpretation into your own inner spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit right presently today. You know, you ask the question, when the scriptures say that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, how is that possible? It's possible because of God's Spirit. That's God's Spirit that makes Christ a reality in my inner being. It's so real that it's actually like Christ is in me, although Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Interceding for us. Just want to say a few things about defiling the temple of God. How do we do that? One of the ways that we defile the temple of God is through sensual worship. Think about that. There are many people that can't worship God outside of having music banging, and the environment is just right, and once the tone gets set and this thing all finally there, emotionally all finally, you know, after 15, 20 minutes of this loud music, finally they're able to raise their hands and worship God. I want to tell you something that militates about the very essence of God being in my heart. Or it can, I want to say that. That can very, very strongly militate. Something else that gets a lot closer home, and that is, you know what? If you're here today and you're attempting to worship God with secret sin, you're defiling the temple of God. I'm sorry to tell you that. But if you're here today and you have secret sin in your life and you're acting like you're worshiping God, you are defiling the temple of God. Because the temple of God is holy. The temple of God is holy. Sin is defilement. If any man defile this temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Defiling the temple of God comes from an impure heart and acting like it's pure. And something that we notice in our context here, in the context of the verses that I've been reading to you, the temple of God is defiled by depending on man. See, the whole issue in 1 Corinthians 3 was Paul is reprimanding the Corinthians because they were all having this big, actually, controversy, I'll just say it like that, of who to follow. Some said, I'm going to follow Paul. Some said, I'm going to follow Apollos. Some said, I'm going to follow Peter. And you'll see that right in the list at the end of the chapter that I read here today. And Paul says, it's a sign that's indicative of your carnality. That militates, that defiles the temple of God. That defiles the temple of God. I want you to take what I say. I want you to take the scriptures and ratify in the scriptures that I'm teaching you truth. And you believe the truth. Do not be a follower of man. That's what it says right here. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise, therefore, in verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men. I want you to be able to follow me because I follow Christ. But I want to tell you, my life is laid just like yours is in regard to the scriptures. I must obey, follow, believe, act upon all those words, the Holy Scriptures. I want, brothers, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you in regard to our Christian walk of life. If you are the temple, if you're born again, you are the temple of God. God desires to show us his glory, but many believers are not in reality experiencing God's glory. Thus, their Christian life is mundane or mediocre, not enjoyable. If you want something, brothers and sisters, that's very enjoyable, know what it is to enter the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of God is. That means your inner spirit, your very inner spirit, where you can communicate with this holy God. And that's where this deep peace and satisfaction comes from in regard to the Christian life. Deep peace and satisfaction comes from you encountering God in your spirit and just weeping before him because of his presence. That's what happens to brothers and sisters that humble themselves before God. That's what happens. That's what takes place. And that's where the strength comes from for godly living. That's where the strength comes from for godly living. The very essence of Christ becomes your life. Let's not struggle among ourselves regarding doctrine. Let's not struggle among ourselves regarding preferences. Let's not struggle among ourselves regarding all these things. Again, let me make sure you understand. The Bible talks about false doctrine, false teachers, they need to be put away. I'm talking about a church gets divided because of mode of baptism. A church gets divided because of all of these type of things. We can't let that happen. We can't let that happen. Look at how many times churches have been destroyed. I can tell you of churches that were divided because they were having a disagreement about the length of the sleeve for men. Some said short sleeves are okay. Some said, nope, long sleeves. And a church was divided because of it. I can tell you of a church that was divided because they had a disagreement about the furnace. These all seem so trivial. These all seem so trivial. And that's because we don't see the glory of God at this whole thing about being totally. You know, Ephesians 2 talks about being filled with the fullness of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking today about being filled with the fullness of God. And that only comes when we meet God in the Holy of Holies. Let's pray. Thank you, God. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus that we bow before you. You've shown yourself in a mighty way. Lord, the very presence, your very presence in the temple. Your very presence in the temple. When the temple veil was rent, allowed us to see you, to experience you, to come right up to you, to embrace you. And we thank you so much that the Holy Spirit takes everything that you are and makes that part of us. God, your Holy Spirit is so wonderful today. Oh, I just pray that we would open our hearts, that we would open our hearts to blessing you, falling on our faces in worship, seeking you because of who you are, this holy God. Thank you that we today can be holy because we have been washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus. Thank you that the day Jesus died for our sins, and because of this we can be justified, made right standing and placed in right standing with you. We're sanctified. We're made holy. God, you're so wonderful. We bless you today. So it is with reverence, dear God, that we bow and worship and adore you. May you receive great glory for this message today. May you receive great glory for this scripture that teaches us that we are the temple of the living God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would take this picture, this is where God first met Israel. Later, after Israel was in the land of Canaan, they build a permanent building. They build a permanent building. And this building was in Jerusalem. It was the capital. And if you would have looked at the extravagance of that building versus this building, we can't fathom it. Even this mobile, transitory dwelling place of God was beyond our imagination. They took wood, these instruments that were the altar here, and they took brass and hammered out brass and covered that wood all in brass. All in brass. I enjoy recycling, so I save all my brass. It's high priced. I sort everything out. You should see what I have. I have a stack of brass in the shop. I like brass. They took gold and made gold rings because the Ark of the Covenant was so holy that you couldn't touch it. Remember? It was on a cart being moved. And they went over a bump, and this person thought that it's going to fall off. And he quickly put his hand out to stabilize the Ark of the Covenant and died on the spot. Touched the Ark of the Covenant. That's how holy this thing was. In some way today, we have this idea that we can just kind of do like we please. We can pick and choose. God's going to be merciful. I'm sorry, God is holy. God is holy. Anything any of you would like to share today?